In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The coming of the woman of Canaan to Jesus is as significant as Jesus' conversation with Photini at the well. In both cases, Jesus is going beyond the house of Israel. In the other case, in Samaria, and in this case, to a place even more distant, even more foreign to the people of Israel. The cities of Tyre and Sidon along the coast, that coastal people that became known throughout the world as the Phoenicians, they were all that remained of the people of Canaan, whom Joshua had overcome when the Israelites, the Hebrews, came into the Promised Land. They represent the rest of the world, the outside world. The Phoenicians had dealings with not only the Greeks, their culture by then was Greek. They remained ethnically Canaanites and ethnically related to the Jews. They were a Semitic people, but culturally they were Greek. And they traded throughout the Mediterranean world with the Romans, with the Egyptians, with everyone. They were a sophisticated people. They were known by the Jews as a proud people, that last remnant of the Canaanites who had worshipped the fallen angels as gods and built idols to them. This encounter between Jesus Christ and the Canaanite woman is an overcoming of barriers between God and the angels who rejected him and those who worshipped those powers that became the power of this world. That rift that had existed from the beginning is to be overcome by Christ. When this woman comes to Jesus, he treats her in a way that is almost shocking to us. She comes asking on behalf of her daughter, whom she loves, out of her own suffering, because of that love for her daughter, she calls upon Jesus, the Son of David, acknowledging the lineage of the Jews and the King who has come, and she asks for mercy. But he responds to her in an uncharacteristically cold way. He had told his disciples he is only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And to her directly, he says, it is not meet, it is not appropriate to take food for the children who belong at the table and cast it to the dogs. So harsh, the words of Christ. But she accepts that this is her relationship to the Lord. Yes, she says, it is true. I do not belong at the table. My ancestors worshiped the enemies of God. But even the dogs can come and eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And that is the key. That will be the key for all who come to Christ. That will be the key for all who seek to speak to him and to have response from him as their Lord. Tuesday is the day that we remember Saint Isaac the Syrian. And Saint Isaac said that humility is the way that God converses with us human beings. Humility is the language that God established between us in common. It is humility for God to take on our flesh and come into this world. the incarnation of the Son of God himself, Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Word, is the revelation of the humility of God. His coming is itself an incarnation of his humility, a taking flesh of his humility. That is who and what Jesus Christ is. The Word of God is a word that God established between us in the language of humility. God came into the world in order to offer us the incarnate Word of his own humility, the divine language that this woman comes and speaks to Christ. She is speaking his language. She loves her daughter and suffers because of her love. And in that, she is like Christ. God loves those that he has created, and he suffers on our behalf because we are separated from him and we are dying. We are perishing. The beautiful creation that he has made, the centerpiece, the jewel of creation, the one that was meant to give voice to creation, is dying. Whenever someone loves someone who is suffering, they suffer, just as this woman is suffering. Saint Isaac says that the only way that we created beings can hear the Word of God face to face, the way the woman does when she stands before Christ, the way anyone does when he or she speaks to him, whether it's in the first century or whether it's today in prayer. The only way a created being like ourselves can hear the Word of God and speak face to face with him is by humility. There is no other way. If humility isn't there, then there is nothing between us and God. He has established that line of communication between us, that way that we can get in touch across the divide between those who rebelled against him and live a life of rebellion and rejection. This is the only way for communication. Saint Isaac says that we only understand by way of humility. Without humility, he says, there is no understanding. There is no knowledge of God, no ability to speak to him, no ability to hear his words. And this woman, by her humility, has crossed the divide between her ancestors who worship the powers of this world and calls Christ Lord. She knows him, she recognizes him, she is able to speak to him in his own terms because of her humility. Saint Isaac says that humility is the robe of God. Humility is the robe that God vested himself with when he took on our flesh. If we look at an icon of Christ and we see him robed in our humanity, that is his having robed himself as the incarnate Son of God in our humanity. And the common means of our communion, of our communication, begins with our humility before him. We can know all of the theology. We can learn all of the things that the fathers, humble men and women, fathers and mothers of the church, all of the things that they have said, all of the things that they have explained to us, we can know and understand them with our minds. But without humility, we can't hear those words in our hearts. Those words can't have the power to change us, to make the difference between someone who is separated from God and may worship him from afar, but still wants to retain and keep their own dominion. Not the reality of God's dominion, but my dominion. As Satan says in Milton's poem, better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. That pride is what needs to be washed away. Saint Isaac says that when the Canaanite woman came to Christ, he could smell the scent of the Garden of Paradise, because that is the scent of humility that Adam lost with the fall. Christ comes and he restores that sweetness of scent to our humanity. The humanity that we see revealed in Christ, which is the humanity that we are meant to have, it restores the sweetness of the scent of the humility of the garden that we had before the fall. And this woman, crossing all of the barriers that had been there between Canaanite descendants and the one who had come to feed the lost sheep of Israel, when she stands before him and falls down before him and worships him and offers him the scent of the garden, the barrier is overcome. Christ Jesus has conquered the last of the Canaanites, the last of those people foreign to the chosen people of God. And so this is a message that has a meaning for all of us of the rest of the world. We're used to, when we read St. Paul's letters, to put ourselves in the place of the Gentiles, because we are those Gentiles. We are outside of the historical Israel. We are the new Israel. And we should see ourselves here too in the Canaanite woman. Spiritual fathers, when they write about our prayer, they point to the Canaanite woman and say, this woman is an image of true prayer. And how it is that we can only pray to God and have him hear us and hear his words of response to us. Let it be as you have desired, because you have desired what is good and holy. You have desired to be as you ought to be, like me, like God. And when we desire to be like him and come to him in humility, then God hears our prayers. This is the message for all of us of the Canaanite woman and her encounter with Christ. We go to confession and we renew our baptism, that time when we were washed. We go to wash ourselves of the stink of our pride and have again the fresh scent of the Garden of Eden, the fresh scent of the humility of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.